My name is Keith Treadway, and I'm glad to be back. It was great to have those guys step in. They did a great job. Amen? Amen. And if you have your Bibles, I want you to turn them to Acts chapter 19. You know, ignorance is not always bliss. Ignorance is not always bliss. It can be embarrassing. Dr. Donald Barnhouse tells a story, fictional I assume, but a story about a family, or actually a group of homesteaders that decided that they wanted to get away from Virginia back in 1775 because it was just getting too crowded out there. I mean, there were people within 2 miles of their house. I mean, they had to move away from all that population surplus. So they got together, got in their wagons, and took off and went west. They heard of this place called the Ohio Valley. And they said, I hear there's a lot of land out there. We can settle on out there. So they go out there, and they cross into it, and they find that their wagon breaks down. They just get into it just a little bit, just west of Virginia, and kind of get into that. And so as they're fixing the wagon, they look around and say, you know what? It's pretty nice here. I think I want to just, let's just pick this place. I don't see anybody, you know. Our closest neighbor is about 50 miles away. That's probably pretty good. So let's just settle right here. And so they decide to do that. Fast forward 15 years. All of a sudden, here comes the visitors. You know, people just drop in at any time. 15 years later, they come. And they say, man, it's good to see you. What's going on out east? And they start telling them about everything that's happening. And they said, well, how's the king? And the people traveling said, what do you mean, what king? Well, the king, our king. We don't have a king. What are you talking about? Well, we've had a war. We had a war? Yeah, there's been a war. And we won. We won a war, okay? There's no longer a king. We have a president. We have a president. Yes, we do. George Washington. Really? Yeah. I said, all these years, the past 7 years, we've been just praying and praying and praying and praying for God save the king. We didn't know. It's embarrassing when you get information you probably should have known, right? Yeah. But being ignorant can also not just be embarrassing. I mean, I've had that plenty in school. We'll talk about school. Woo! Yeah, when the teacher calls on you, says you were supposed to read something, I'm going to quiz you on it, that can be embarrassing. But it can also be frustrating. I don't know about you, but drive around Kokomo lately, woo! I was just really trying to go from my house to Myers. That's it. And all the roads that were closed. I didn't know they were closed. There weren't even signs that half of them were closed. And I turn down the road, and I'll get halfway down the road, and I go, I'm not getting through this road. I think I had to go to Cass County to get up to 931 to get down to Myers. I don't know if you all experienced that. You try to go to Indianapolis the last few weeks on 931 out of Kokomo, good luck. So you have to go the back roads. I mean, ignorance can be frustrating. And honestly, GPS just isn't that good all the time. I should have had a lot more amens than what I just heard. I mean, come on, sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. But ignorant can also be frustrating and, may I say, dangerous. You remember, I was just looking up stuff you know about, but think about the medical world a couple hundred years ago, bloodletting. You guys know what bloodletting is? Yeah, you know what that is. So it's where they cut you and they put these leeches all over you to suck the blood out of you. That's supposed to be good for you, right? Well, it didn't work so good, at least for George Washington. That's what they say. I know he had some kind of throat infection and all that, but they trying to suck blood out of him to make him feel better. And some people said that was what put him over the top. Something you've heard of, maybe. I never heard this word, trepanation, where they drill into your skull. They have from thousands of years ago where they have skulls where there's holes in them. Now, they say they cure headaches. Boy, if that's the case, I'd have holes all in my head because, man, the aspirin doesn't always work, right? Well, that's what they did. That could be kind of dangerous. A lot of people had illnesses and died. They actually thought it helped cure mental disease. Whoo! Can you imagine? All this time, we're going to the hospital when all we needed was a DeWalt drill. Take care of my problem. No counseling ministry. Just line them up. That's what they thought. That's a little dangerous, though. Here's one I didn't know about. I really looked like seven sources because I thought, this can't be true. But apparently it was. Radioactive water. Okay, in the early 20th century, there was a drink called Radithor. That sounds cool. Almost a Radithor. It's radioactive water. It actually had radium in it. That doesn't even sound good, does it? I don't know if it tastes good or not, but they said it's supposed to make your body feel better. Well, you're drinking stuff that's going to kill you, basically. And it did kill a lot of people, so they kind of shut that down, and the pharmaceutical companies decided, the government decided maybe we need to have some more guidelines on these sort of things. So you and I all know about ignorance. It can be frustrating. It can be dangerous, and it can be embarrassing. I got to tell you what, there's something even more serious than that, and it actually goes along with our story today, especially the one about the homesteaders. Kind of parallels our story this morning in Acts 19. I hope you're turned there. But our story today is really similar in those ways. Incomplete knowledge is very dangerous when it comes to spiritual truth. It can be very dangerous. This comes up so much in the Bible, and I wonder if we just pass over it. This is important today. And since we're at the front end of education, we got Sunday school coming up and the importance of that. We got school coming up. A lot of the schools, private and public schools, are starting. Education's a big deal, and it is a big deal. I thought it'd be important. It's amazing how God popped this up. Important to look at that one more time. As way of introduction, there are many reasons why ignorance is not a good idea when it comes to spiritual things. I'm going to give you two as way of introduction as why ignorance can be a very serious, dangerous situation. The first one is this. An incomplete knowledge can make you vulnerable to a false message. An incomplete knowledge can make you and I vulnerable to a false message. In the church in Galatia, Paul was dealing with a bunch of legalists, and they were giving out a added gospel of grace. They were trying to add law to it. Scripture, there's a little phrase in Galatians 1 that says, Paul's writing this, there are some who trouble you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. Now, it took Paul, an outsider who knew the word of God, who wasn't ignorant, to speak to those who were very desirable and passionate about knowing and growing in faith in God, but they were being led around and they were blinded by what was true and what was false. And so Paul says, this is a big deal. You can't get the gospel wrong, right? You don't want to say, yeah, everybody's going to heaven. It's okay. You know, that all dogs go to heaven kind of thing, all people go to heaven sort of that mentality. That's just not going to work. One of my favorite Greek professors at Dallas Seminary, his name's Dan Wallace, he gave a strong warning. I want to give him a quote, kudos to him on this quote he made. He was speaking to, I'm assuming, church leaders, and this is what he said. Those in ministry must close the gap between the church and the academy. We have to educate believers. Instead of trying to isolate lay people from critical scholarship. I want to read that again because that's exactly what's happening today. Instead of trying to isolate lay people from critical scholarship, we need to insulate them. They need to be ready for the barrage because it's coming. The intentional dumbing down of the church for the sake of filling more pews will ultimately lead to defection from Christ. That is so true. If we're so concerned with how things are presented and how people feel and what things might be said, rather than what does this Word of God say, we're already in trouble. Truth must be preached and taught here. That's why we push Sunday school. That's why we push Bible studies. That's why we push small group involvement. Whether as a student or an instructor, you all have something to learn. Most of you know, It seems, if you talk to my family, they have not known me not being in school forever. The kids were born while I was in school. They're growing up while I was still going to school, and now I'm still going to school. And some people would look at me and shake their heads and say, why are you doing that? Because I have found the value of growing and learning more about Christ and the Bible. And yes, I can read books, and I am so blessed and encouraged by people who are reading good books. Keep doing it. Don't stop that. But for me, getting involved, being challenged by others, hearing maybe a different view or different opinion, something, is it possible that we could learn something new? Three people said yes. Maybe that's our problem. Okay, we'll get to that later. But we need to know and learn and to grow. Remember, incomplete knowledge does make one vulnerable to a false message so easily. I know we're called sheep, okay? I get that. But we shouldn't strive to act like one. Okay? Well, that's the first one. The second one, this is all introductory, by the way. You're good. Incomplete knowledge also stunts our spiritual growth. All right? Incomplete knowledge stunts our spiritual growth. I want you all now, just for a moment, I want you to picture, this is a 17-year-old girl holding this beautiful, what looks like maybe a 1 or 2 year old baby. You got that picture? Picture maybe two people you know. Maybe friends, maybe grandkids, maybe someone there. But you got a 17-year-old beautiful girl, right? And it's holding this beautiful baby. You got that picture? Everybody got it? Now, there's something encouraging and almost calming about that. Isn't that sweet? But what if I were to add one more fact to this? That little baby is that 17-year-old girl's older sister. That's exactly what happened with a girl by the name of Brooke Greensburg. And ABC News reported this on October 13, 2013. She died at the age of 20, but never having developed past the physical size of a baby and never being able to even act or talk more than the capacity, possibly at the most, of a 2-year-old. They don't really have names for it. At least back then they didn't. According to the report, they call it Syndrome X. I think there's a name for it, but it's just a disorder. It keeps someone from aging. And we look at that picture and we would think that's beautiful, except if we have the facts, we realize this is not healthy. Does that change everything? How many times do we look at people and we say, oh, aren't they healthy? And we have no idea what that person's going through. We don't know. We don't know. Incomplete knowledge can stunt your growth, just like that disease could stunt that beautiful child or grown girl by the name of Brooke. Think about this, though. Are you ready? And this is the end of the intro, but hang in there. What if the reason for our ministry and the ministry struggles that we face, the powerlessness at times, isn't a lack of passion? Okay? It's not because of lack of passion, but a lack of truth. The enemy doesn't always need to silence the church. He just needs to keep us uninformed. Because when we don't know the full counsel of God's words, we can't proclaim the full power of the gospel. I want you to remember this. A half-truth is a whole danger. A half-truth is a whole danger. When we settle for shallow knowledge of God's word, we risk preaching a powerless gospel that's going to lead people astray. And with that, we're going to jump into our text now. That lays the foundation, because these are the things that Paul is taking with him right into this wonderful city. He had been looking forward to get into it for a long time and told people he wants to go, but if he couldn't get there, he's finally going to Ephesus. Woo! It's his third missionary journey. He's excited about it. And boy, does he have a lot to deal with when he gets there. Let's read the first 7 verses. You follow along as I read out loud. And it happened that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul passed through the inland country and came to Ephesus. And there he found some disciples. And he said to them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" And they said, "No, we have not even heard that there's a Holy Spirit." And he said, "Well, into what then were you baptized?" And they said, "Into John's baptism." And Paul said, "John baptized with the baptism of repentance, telling the people to believe in the one who was to come after him, that is Jesus." On hearing this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they began speaking in tongues and prophesying. And there were about 12 in all. Fascinating story. The background for this actually is the chapter before. Apollos had the same issue. We're not going to go time to read. You can read that later. But Apollos is one of the leaders now in the church. He's developing into an up and rising leader, and he is very good at what he does. He's one of those guys that get up here, gals that could get up here, and they could just capture your attention. From the very beginning, I don't know if he was funny or if he was just interesting, had great stories, whatever it was. But the text says that he was very good at his expository, so to speak, his ability to preach the word. Except there were some mature people in Christ that had been growing all along. You've heard of them, right? Aquila and Priscilla. And so here we've got the Apollos preaching, and they hear something, and they pull him aside. Can you imagine that? Taking a leader of the church and someone pulling him aside, "I want to share something with you that I don't think you quite have right." Most people would be horrified by the thought of even doing that or hearing someone that do it. But yet they do this, and that's what they did. We're going to get into the good about that in a little bit. So they pull him aside, and they teach him about the Lord Jesus Christ a little bit more. They give him a little more theology, a little more understanding. And when he gets this, Apollos just sets loose, and man, his ministry just grows by leaps and bounds. So that's what we got here. A little truth went a long way with these guys. So, but the significant thing in our text this morning, I don't know if you thought about it. We're not going to get too much into it. I will answer the question. But there's an elephant in the room. Here we have these disciples. And they had been baptized by John. And the question is, are they lost or were they saved? Now, I bet some of you think right away, I know the answer. My Bible teacher taught that to me, or my Sunday school teacher, my preacher taught that to me. I know the answer. Okay, I'm glad you're confident. I'll get to that in a minute. The question still remains, are they lost or are they saved? Very interesting. I don't know where they heard it. A lot on this stuff. Maybe they actually heard John, but you got to remember back in those days, that was a long ways away. They didn't have the media we have. They didn't have the radio and all the papers and all. Stuff might come a year or longer afterward. We don't know how they got it. Were they there at some time? Did they travel to Jerusalem and they heard John the Baptist preach and they believed and they were baptized into John's baptism, which was a call to repentance to Israel, to believe in the coming Messiah and get their hearts ready for him because he was going to do something and baptize them in the Spirit, which was a complete cleansing from the inside out. So here we have that, or was it Apollos? I kind of lean towards the Apollos thing. I'm not sure everybody went to Jerusalem all the time, but Apollos was just in Ephesus before Paul got there, and he was preaching this, and so here are these guys, hear this, I think they've trusted, and they simply were baptized in the John's baptism, not hearing about Jesus, not hearing about the Spirit. They didn't know, but they believed God. And so this debate, by the way, continues on today. It's been raging on for hundreds of years, and we probably won't solve it. I will say this, the Bible's pretty clear about certain things, right? There's no salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. What is that name?
Jesus.
That's right. So somewhere along the way, you got to come to Jesus. There are people, why is that a big deal? Because there are people that have spiritual experiences. And I'm not saying they don't have an experience. I'm not doubting that at all. But you need to understand, as these disciples did, unless the word, the name of Jesus Christ, who he is and what he did for you, comes up in conversation, you're not a believer. You're believing in something. You're not saved. It's only in the name of Jesus a person can be saved. That's it. That's not me saying, well, that's your opinion. Read the scriptures. You'll find that that name is the one that is above every name. Now, what about Old Testament? Because that's where I went when I'm reading this. Maybe some of you already went there. Woo! Old Testament says, now you got to remember, salvation is the same, old and new. You're saved by grace through faith. Abraham was a Gentile. Oh, he's a Jew! Let me correct that. Before he was a Jew, he was a Gentile. He was called by God as a Gentile. Never followed God, but God called on him, told him the promises, told him who he was, told him of his future. And it says Abraham did one thing. He believed. He trusted in God and in his promises, and in this coming Messiah, he was going to bless the world, and he was going to be a blessing. He was going to be a part of that. And he believed, because he believed, it was accounted to righteousness to him. So the Old Testament saints were saved the same way. They believed in the promises of God. They believed in God, and they were looking forward to the Messiah. And by faith, trusting in God, it was accounted to them as righteousness as well. So what do we do about this believing thing? We have to be careful about, I believe, I believe, I believe. It's a great word, it really is, but it must have really irritated the Lord Jesus' brother James, because he got tired of it. Because in his letter, he says, you know what, I got to deal with this belief thing. Everybody says they believe. Everybody believes. He says, even the demons believe in Jesus Christ. You do know that, right? The devil believes in Jesus. That who he is. That's why we have to say, what do you mean when you use the word believe? We're not saying, do you believe that he exists? We're not even saying that you believe the story is true. We're asking you a very specific question, and here it is. Are you trusting that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, who died on the cross for your sins and was resurrected again by the Father? Are you trusting in him alone for your salvation? That's what we're asking when we say believe. James says, it's too easy to say believe. I believe. Okay, yeah, I'm saved. No, the demons believe and they fear God. The gospel is that we can believe, trusting in Christ alone, and be saved. So what's the answer? Were these guys saved or not saved? You're going to love my answer. I really can't outsolve the problem if 200 years of scholarship can't. But I can say I believe that they were kept by God. That's my answer to you. I believe these men were kept by God. Were they saved? Were they not saved? I'll let you guys have fun discussing that. But I believe with all my heart that they were kept by God. Why do I believe that? Because of Jeremiah 29:13, that tells us if we seek God with our whole heart, guess what? We will find him. I think these guys were sincere. I think they sought after God. I think they trusted in whatever John was saying. They had incomplete knowledge. If they were not lost in the sense that they had not trusted Christ, I believe the Lord honored that and kept them and brought to their feet someone who could help fill the gaps so they could say, oh, wow, that's the whole message. That's the message. It's not just the word believe. It's trusting in a person. It's trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And if you're here today and you have not done that, my friend, I invite you then to fill in the gaps right now. For it's by grace we are saved through faith. That's not of ourselves. It's a gift of God. It's not of our works. But it's in Jesus Christ alone. That's what happens. So somehow in the conversation here, I always thought this was interesting. I don't know if just reading it again, maybe hearing it. Did you wonder what made Paul ask questions? Something made him suspicious. I don't know what it was. I don't know what the conversation was. It's not recorded. But something made Paul go, wait a second here. I got some questions for you. And he says, Did you believe the Holy Spirit when you believed? Did you receive Him, I believe? Did you receive the Holy Spirit? All I know is that these guys, and by the way, questions are a great way to witness. You say, I don't know how to witness. Let me help you. I'm going to solve your problem in 10 seconds. Are you ready? Here it is. Ask lots of questions. You'll have conversations like going crazy. People will start talking. They want to share what's there on their heart. They're going to share their experiences. That is going to open all kinds of doors for you to hear them, respecting what they're saying, but also share with them what the Bible says. It's a great way to witness. So here we have these conversations. He's respect. They're ignorant, and Paul's going, oh boy, okay. Well, you got part of it. So what I love about this is that Paul listens, he asks more questions, and then he goes right into this thing about, well, look, John baptized this way, but you need to understand that it's all about Jesus Christ. And once they got that, they responded. Now, this is what I love about these guys, okay? A little truth goes a long way. And here's our big ideas. This is our big four ideas. Take just a few minutes and we're done. First of all, you and I don't know everything. Okay? Have you run into people that know everything? A person has an opinion on everything. How about those people that quote 12 people they've heard, but they don't really know what they believe, but they could quote those 12 people. Okay, you and I will never know anything. I'm okay with that. Because we're growing, hopefully, we're growing, we get it. And no matter what family or what school or what church or what seminary or what Bible college or what university or what your teacher, who they were, you're not going to know everything. Therefore, you and I must never stop being a student of the Word. And I think that's a danger that Dr. Wallace was talking about, that the church has gotten complacent. It's more about the experience. But I want our experience to be based upon the biblical truth, the text. I want our experiences and our joys and our hallelujahs and our tears to be based on the Word of God, not on some song or some story I have to tell you to get anybody to do anything to say amen. Why can't they say amen? Because God said it. That's what we need. And I think that's what Paul was trying to get at here. We've got all this stuff going on, but what you need is Jesus. He's the one that's going to really, I mean, I might impress you with my juggling skills. Probably not. Because I can't juggle. Maybe one ball. But it won't matter. Because I failed. It doesn't mean church should be boring. Man, if church is boring, shame on us. It should not be. We need to make it in such a way, but a lot of that comes with us. So you and I just don't know anything. We must dig in this Word. Are you a student of the Word? God, by the way, I'm not talking. Yeah, I remember that Bible class I took back in 1972. Okay, that's great. Are you continuing to learn? Number two, not only do you not know anything, but this is what I love about this story. Now we're getting back into Acts 19 a little bit more. Humility is essential for you to grow in the grace and knowledge of Christ. Humility is so essential. I am blown away, first of all, by Apollos in chapter 18. This guy is a scholar. He knows a lot. He's a skilled orator, obviously. And he's willing to listen to two people sitting out here that want to pull him aside and say, hey, this is what's happened. This is some new information that you have not received yet. This came from Jerusalem, you know, by mule pack or whatever. Jesus Christ came. He died on the cross and he resurrected 3 days later. And the Holy Spirit came down and has just empowered the believers, those who trust in him now. They are filled with him, empowered by him to preach the word, and they are forever saved by trusting in Christ. And so humility, I'm just amazed that he did that. But I'm also amazed by 19, chapter 19. 12 guys. Now, certainly out of 12 guys, you're going to find one or two that are going to say, I ain't listening to this guy. Who's Paul? Every one of them were humble. If you want to really learn, you got to humble yourself. You got to go back to number one. What was the first rule? We don't know everything. That goes right with number two, doesn't it? Because if you think you know everything, or if you come to a passage, oh, I know John 3:16, you can't teach me anything new, you're already out of the humble mode and you're not going to learn a thing. Do you think it's possible for someone to come up here and to have their only text is John 3:16 and for you to learn something new? Must be humble. These guys blew me away. Third, God always honors those who diligently seek Him. Diligently seek Him. One thing we can see about these men, there's not a lot of information, but their passion was not just emotional. They were committed, and God honored that by bringing Paul along and by bringing these other two believers along to help Apollos. And God helped them. And that's exactly about what you and I need to know as we grow in the grace and knowledge of Christ. God will always, always honor those who seek Him. It may not happen quickly. It may take several years. It might be a lifetime journey. But we know God's going to honor that and honor your seeking Him. How many of you have been, you don't have to raise hands, but how many have been seeking answers for things for a long time? That's okay. It's all right. You may not know on this side of heaven. Are you okay with that? Some of you can say, well, I have to say yes, I'm in church. Some of us might say, I'd really like to have the answer. We may not know the answer, but the journey is what's good. We want it to end right now. No, God's going to have something fantastic to teach you in this journey as you're learning and seeking Him. Be diligent. Be diligent. That's what these men did. And the fourth thing is that biblical truth must never be compromised. What I love about Paul, and you got to think of the context here, what made this so powerful, is he's planting new churches, isn't he? He's planting the very foundation of what's going to grow here. We cannot compromise truth. We can't do it. Just even if that means we got half the people saying, I'm out of here because I think we should accept all views and all people and all beliefs, that's going to destroy the church. The local church, not the universal. God's going to build it. And Paul, what I loved here, he was willing in a humble, kind way because he too had to be taught to confront things that weren't true. The church isn't very popular today, at least the churches that speak the truth in love. But that's okay. We need to keep doing it. I'm looking at America and our society today, and I'm thinking, you talk about ignorance? Oh my goodness. I was so thankful to hear, I think what Kyle was saying about going into the schools, and that's important. How many of you remember when there was Bible class in school? There are a few that still remember. How many remember prayers that were in school? Yeah, some of that stuff. All right. Now, you and I could go on the argument. That doesn't change everybody's heart, but I'll tell you what, you hear the word of God and you hear the prayers of God, it can make a big difference in the atmosphere of that school and the hearts of those kids. I love it, the Ten Commandments, this is back in the 80s, in the early 80s when I was first teaching in the school systems, where the Ten Commandments being pulled out of schools, I don't know if you remember that argument, they challenged the guy, they said, why are you doing that? What possible bad could come from those, from that document, those Ten Commandments being on the walls of the school? You know what his response was? Well, students might read that. And by reading that, they might be compelled to actually follow and obey that. And we don't want to squelch, you know, their independent creative thinking or whatever. I'm thinking, what? So what do we do with our society? And it's taken about a generation or two now, right? We've got it to the place where let's remove God. Let's make His word, the Bible, irrelevant. And now that people don't have knowledge, we can tell them anything we want, and they're going to believe it. You say a falsehood enough times, people will believe it, won't they? I mean, that seems to be one of the platforms on both parties at times. Sorry to get political. But here we have here biblical truth. Paul was not going to compromise with that. If we're going to make this thing work, we got to make it work the right way. We have to live and be humble. We don't know everything, and God honors those who diligently seek him. I am so glad that the Lord allowed those first seven verses in chapter 19 to be put in here, because here are some guys that just didn't have it all. They realized it, and they were willing to learn. How about you? Here's the tough part. Are you right? Are you ready? It's difficult for you and I to know that we're ignorant. How do I know that I'm ignorant? How am I to know that? I mean, you could come up to me after the service and say, you know what, you're ignorant. Well, I might agree with you on some things for sure and say amen. But how would we know that? Even if you were sincere, how do I know I'm ignorant? There's a very easy solution. The Word of God will help you know where the gaps are in your thought, in your mind, and in your life. And that's why you and I must be in this Word. That's why knowledge and education and application of education in our life every day will make a difference in our lives, in our families, in this community, in our nation, and ultimately the world. Do you know this Word of God? Do you know it well? Next week I'm having a 100-page test, all right? On the Word of God. And I have had people say, I really don't want to learn too much. I just want to be blessed. I taught a class one time on how to study the Bible. And the third week in, the guy quit. He says, look, I don't want to do this anymore. It's too hard. I think I'll just read, I think it was J. Vernon McGee's books and just be done with it. I got nothing against J. Vernon McGee. He's a great man. Great man. But I felt that's not what God wants for you or me. Ignorance is not bliss. It's dangerous. But we can fight the danger by growing in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. Would you bow with me, please? Every head bowed and every eye closed. There might be some people today here that have not, like these disciples of John, come to a full knowledge of what salvation is all about. If you're here today and you realize in your heart, and the Holy Spirit will speak to you, that you are not a Christian, I'm not saying that you haven't wanted to be or tried to follow to be, but you've never trusted Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as your Savior, I would implore you right now, by faith, simply taking God at his word, that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, who died on the cross for your sins and rose again. And if you will just by faith trust in him to save you from your sins, he will absolutely bring salvation to you. But it's through Jesus Christ alone. Would you do that even now? Just cry out to God and say, Lord Jesus, I understand that my sin separates me from you. And I'm trusting in what you did for me. And I'm trusting in you alone to save me from my sins. Help me to live for you forever. Now, for the many of us that are here, where are you at on the scale of knowledge and growing in grace? I would challenge you right now to do some serious business with the Lord. Make it a priority in your life to continue to grow and to also help others grow. Not just learning, but sharing about the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, I pray now as we make decisions here and what we're going to do. There's some people that are satisfied just to hear something, feel good, and to get their gas tanks pumped up next week. Well, I'm glad they get their gas filled. Their tanks filled with the Bible, but Lord, we're supposed to be seeking you daily and digging into your word, and I pray that you'll help all of us, including me, not neglect that. Help us all to grow in your grace and also obedience to it. I pray for those today that are struggling with answers and And I just ask that you would help them through faith in Christ to know their salvation, to know that you can guide them in their struggles. We thank you for all these things, Lord. And now, Lord, may we follow through on our decisions. In Jesus' name, amen.